All right, if you will, turn to the book of Psalms. And I do preach in other places than Psalms, but that's a good place to start. It really is. I guarantee you, in this lesson, we'll be all over the Bible. We'll go from the beginning almost to the end. And I was trying to get my children out of here because the message I'm bringing today, they have heard, and there's no exaggeration, they've heard this at least 60 times. I've preached this message in churches, and I've taught it in Sunday schools, and they're sitting out there. They've heard it so many times. But thank you, my brother. Brother, I don't know how to turn this on. Okay. Yeah. All right. They could probably get up and teach it. They really could. They've heard this so many times. I'm starting in the book of Psalms. Yeah, do you have a ladies' class? Well, I thought if you had a... But I have to say this, if there's any truth, I believe, that I would want to be embedded in my children's minds, it would be what I'm going to give you today. The truth that I'll give you this morning is something that I'm sure you've heard it before. You've heard it mentioned in a message, but I wonder if you've ever heard an entire message on this subject of the importance of meeting with God in the morning. And after I show you some places in the Bible, I believe even if some of you may say, well, I already do that. Well, I just want to add fuel to your fire. And some of you might say, and I've heard this, you know, I used to do that, but then a job came or something, my schedule changed, I got away from that. And I've had people say I needed that so much because I need to get back to meeting with God in the morning. And then some of you say, well, I've never tried that. Some of you would say, I'm not a morning person. And brother, I've joined that club. I'm not a morning person either. I'm a night owl. At midnight, I'm ready to go. At midnight, you know, I don't want to get up in the morning. But I found this: once I get up, if I get myself awake and take a shower, whatever I have to do. Some of you may drink coffee. If you have to take drugs, do it. But get yourself awake in the morning. But once you get awake, as Charles Spurgeon said, the morning is the choice time. It's the choice time to meet with God. And let me just show you to start off with in Psalm 5. Turn there, Psalm 5. This is a psalm of David. We'll start out with just taking a look at what David said in the Psalms about the morning. When I read about David, I think I'd like to be a man after God's own heart. I'd like to be a man like that. I'd like to be a man that would step out and fight a giant when nobody else wanted to. I'd like to be a man that God could write songs through me. He gave David most of these psalms we read. I'd like to be a man that could be a leader of other people. And there's so many things in the life of David, I think I want to be like that. And sometimes we make the mistake, we think I'd like to be like that, but we forget to look at what made the man like that. What made David the man that he was? And I believe we'll see one of the secrets of David's life in three different psalms we'll look at today. Psalm 5, verse number 3. Notice what he said here. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Here David says, Lord, you'll hear my voice in the morning. I believe God heard the voice of David every morning. He'd get up and talk to God. Now, if you will, turn to Psalm 63, the middle of the Psalms. Psalm 63. Let me say, while you're turning there, I appreciate so much being here. I love this church. I feel honored to be here. I feel inadequate to stand in this pulpit knowing the great men of God. And here's one right over here, and here's one right over here. I'm surrounded by them. Great preachers that stand in this pulpit, and I don't feel adequate at all, but I appreciate the opportunity. I thank God that I can be here. Look at Psalm 63, verse number 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Let me ask you something. How long's it been since you thirsted for God? How long's it been since you've just been hungry for the presence of God? And here's a man that said, Lord, early will I seek thee. Now, someone might read that and say, well, David meant early in his life. You'll notice if you have a heading at the beginning of, if you have that in your Bible where it gives a little heading, it says, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, he wrote this. So David was young. It was the early part of his life. But I believe he may have meant that, but I believe he also meant early in my day. Lord, early in the day, I'll seek you. Now, somebody might say, well, I think he meant in his life. Well, let me reason with you a little bit. Every day God gives us is a miniature life. It really is. We've got the morning, which is like youth. We've got the afternoon, which is like a noontime, like middle age. Then the afternoon, the evening, like the senior years. And then what do? We go to sleep like death. Every day God gives us is precious. We need to number our days and seek God's wisdom and God's blessings on our life. And why not? We tell our young people, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What about the youth of your days? What about the first part of the day? Seek God. Now turn over to Psalm 143. And again, here's a psalm of David. Psalm 143, a psalm of David. Notice verse number 8. Psalm 143, verse number 8. Love to hear those pages turning. That's music to my, I believe that's music to God's ears when God's people are turning the pages of the Bible. God wishes today that you do that more in your home and not just in church. Turn the pages and let him hear them. Psalm 143, verse number 8. Look at this. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness when in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Here's a man, he has a day before him, and he says, dear God, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. My friend, if we can hear from God in the morning, if we can hear the loving kindness of God in the morning, we'll carry it with us all through the day. Our whole day will be seasoned by that time with God that we have in the morning. It'll affect all of our decisions. It'll affect our emotions. It'll affect the spirit that we have as we go through the day. If we'll get up and meet with God in the morning. I'm just curious. How many of you say, Brother Epley, this is a practice in my life. I already do this. I get up and meet with God in the morning. How many would say that today? All right. I'm not going to ask how many maybe used to do it and you've gotten away from it. But of you that just raised your hand, let me ask you, has it become a time of really getting up and you're anxious to meet with God? Has it become a time of really seeking God? Is it a sweet time? Is it a joyful time? Or are you just putting in your time? Has it become stale? Has it become a duty? I want to rekindle that fire of a desire to get up in the morning and anxious to meet with God. Some of you get up in the morning, you're anxious to get to the breakfast table. You're anxious to eat that food, that country ham and those scrambled eggs and those homemade biscuits, cathead biscuits. Put butter all over. You're anxious to do that. You're anxious to get to that table and feed your body. My friend, I believe you can develop an appetite where you're anxious to get up in the morning and meet with God and get the inner man fed. Have some food for the inner man. George Mueller, the great man of faith. I just read his life story by A.T. Pearson. I believe it changed my life. I don't think I'll ever be the same after reading about George Mueller. How many of you know who George Mueller was? All right. How many of you never heard of George Mueller? Anybody? You don't want to admit it, do you? But George Mueller, you probably heard about it from your pastor, but he took care of orphans in England many years ago, but he never asked man for a dime. He never even let his needs be known. If somebody asked him, what do you need? He would not tell them. He just lived totally by faith. He depended on God. He cast himself on the Lord. His life, one of his life verses was, my soul, wait thou only upon God. My expectation is from him. What a man of faith he was, and a great preacher. And later in life, some of you, who was it that was 72? Who was that? 72. I got a good message for you. Who was that? Oh, it's a joke. All right. Well, I was going to tell you, brother, if you think 72 is old, I want to tell you 72 ain't old. I'm 52, and I've got a brother 20 years older than I am. Well, let's let this man get his laugh out over here. Good night. I never told a joke it went over that good, brother. It's nervous fear coming out of him, right? Well, I've got a brother 72 years old. That guy is in Florida. He's still a painter. He's climbing ladders and painting churches. And so 72 ain't old. I just wanted to say that. But George Mueller, I believe in his 70s, hit the mission field. I mean, some people looking for a place to retire. He always had this longing to be a missionary, and God would not let him do it. God had a work for him to do in England, but then after about 40 years of that work, God said, all right, you can go to the mission field. He went around the world preaching. What a man of God he was. You know what he said? He said, the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord. He said the first thing to be concerned about was how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished. He said, God has taught me this point. It's as plain as anything that the first thing the child of God has to do morning by morning is to obtain food for the inner man. What a statement. What a man of God. You look at George Mueller, you say, I'd like to have his faith. Well, get his walk with God. You'll have his faith. He would get up early in the morning and meet with his God. What a secret. And yet it's not a secret. It's all through the Word of God. It's plain. All through the Word of God. Let me, I'm pleading with you this morning. I'm making my case on not only what the Word of God says, but by the examples of some great men of God. But I'd like to also give you a testimony out of my own life before I go any further. I was saved at 15. I was backslid at 16. That's a horrible thing. But I got saved at 15 years old, gloriously saved, wondrously saved. The Lord changed my life. I became a new creature. I wanted to read the Bible. I couldn't wait to get back to church. And then I went back to the old public school in September. And I was not prepared for that public school. I wasn't prepared for that pressure. I was not prepared for what I faced there. I wanted to be popular, but I never got out of church. And you know, I never really got away from reading some in the Bible every day. But I backslid. I didn't do a lot of the things they did, but I spoke their language. And I blended in with that worldly crowd. I did enough. I said enough. I acted worldly enough that I blended in with that crowd. I did do some wicked things that I'm ashamed of, but I was a backslider. But I got right with God. Right after I got out of high school, God visited me at a Kentucky Wesleyan college. God came to a dormitory room, paid me a visit. Thank God, He's the Good Shepherd, amen? He's the Good Shepherd, and He cares for His sheep. And I was a wandering sheep out there, and He came with that staff, reached it out, put it around my neck, and pulled me back. Said, you've gone far enough. And I got right with God in that worldly, Wesley in college, poor old John Wesley, he probably stands by the throne of grace, said, God, let me go back. Let me go back and redeem my name. Let me go back. They got colleges down there with my name on it, and they don't even believe the Word of God. But God says, I'll take care of that someday. But I was in that college. I got right with God. But you know, my life, even after that time when I really surrendered my life to God, I was like this. I was up and down and up and down and up and down. I was so unstable. I was unstable as water. Nobody could depend on me. I'd be on the mountain one day. I'd be down in the valley the next. And you know, I read the Bible some. Every night I'd read some, pray a little bit, yawning, dead, brain dead, and tired and ready to go to bed. And I'm not against, you know, reading the Bible at night. I think it's a wonderful thing. We read as a family at night and have our family altar. But I heard a man preach about that time in my life, a very, very simple message. His message was, put God first. He said, give God the first day of every week. I'd heard that before. Then he said, give God the first part of every paycheck. Before you pay bills, before you buy groceries, give to God. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all that increase. God will bless you. Well, I'd heard about giving, the tithe and the offering, but then he said, give God the first part of every day. I'd never heard that before, never heard anybody say that before. He said, give God the first part of every day. Get up and meet with God in the morning. He said the first hour. I thought, I don't know if I can give God an hour, but I'm going to give God some time in the morning. I set the alarm clock earlier. I got up. I began to read my Bible and pray in the morning, and my life changed. I didn't become a super saint, but I noticed a new strength in my life. I noticed a difference in my life. Some of you sit there today and say, Brother Epley, you just described me. I'm up and down and I'm up and down. One day I'm happy, the next day depressed. One day I want to serve God, the next day I don't even know if I want to go to church. I'm up and down and up and down. My friend, try this. Try this prescription. Get up in the morning and meet with God. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Try it. Worked for me. It changed my life. And I've been doing it ever since. And the Bible says, you say, well, I don't know about this. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, give it a try. Give it a taste. If you can't give God an hour, try 20 minutes. Try 20 minutes. Get up, read the Bible and for 10 minutes. Get on your knees somewhere and pray for 10 minutes and start your day like that. If it does not change your life, I'll give you your offering back that you put in for Sunday school this morning. It'll change your life, my friend. I promise you it will. And you'll want to increase more and more. You'll want to say, oh, that's wonderful. I've tasted. I've seen the Lord is good. Let me have some more time with God in the morning. Now, let me give you some evidence out of the Word of God. Some things God did in the morning. Turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Some things God did with his people, the Israelites, in the morning. And 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that the things that happened unto them happened for our examples and for our admonition, that we might learn from how God dealt with the Israelites. I know we're the New Testament church, but Israel was called the church in the wilderness. We can learn from things God did with them. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 7. Now this is Moses speaking to the people. And he said, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. My friend, if you get up in the morning and see the glory of the Lord, it'll change your whole day. Now, what's he talking about there, though? Seeing the glory of the Lord. They were about to see God's supernatural provision. This is the chapter where God gives them the manna from heaven. God fed his people. And I want you to notice, God fed them in the morning. God fed them in the morning. And God wants to feed you in the morning. Some of you are good people. You're good people. And you're faithful here in church. But the truth of the matter is, you're greatly undernourished. You're undernourished spiritually because you're not letting God feed you in the morning like he wants to feed you. Some Christians exist. They just exist on what they get Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night at church. God wants to feed you every day. God wants you to get up in the morning and let him feed you from his word. So don't just... As I said last night, I'm not against a Bible reading schedule. But don't get so locked into a Bible reading schedule that you come to the Bible and just look at your schedule and say, well, what am I supposed to read today? And, I'm in 1 Chronicles today. All these names, these begats, and you read it, and you close the Bible, and you say, well, I can check off on my list here that I'm going through the Bible in a year. Listen, I'm not against that. I'm not against going through the Bible in a year. We probably ought to go through the Bible two or three times in a year. But I tell you, I am against coming to the place where it's just a dull routine. Where you come to the Bible, you don't even expect anything. You couldn't honestly say, oh Lord, thy word, how love I thy law. It's sweeter than honey to my mouth. You can't say that. I'm certainly no example, but I tell you, I go and I walk around in Psalms. You say, what do you mean you walk around in Psalms? I, I've got a lot of Psalms marked. And just this morning I opened up to Psalms, and I went over there and where it says God is a very present help in time of trouble. I've got that marked, and I just began to read that, and I began to think what a help he's been. I began to tell him some things I needed help with, and I just met with God. Then I turned the page and I found myself over in Psalm 51. Create in me renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me thoroughly from my sin. Found myself on my knees praying that psalm back to God. Psalm 51, just having a good time with God. Then I like to go over to Proverbs and at least read some in Proverbs and say, Lord, give me some wisdom for the day. Give me wisdom. And then do some other reading. This morning, I did not get to the regular Bible reading. I'm in Ezekiel, and I'm also reading some in Daniel, and I'm reading some in Luke, and I just read many different places in the Bible. I didn't get to my regular scheduled Bible reading today. I believe God had another route for me. God wanted to show me something. God took me through the Bible, and it was sweet, my friend. I just want to testify today, it was a sweet time in the Word of God that I had this morning. And God wants that for all of us every day. I know some days there may not be any great revelation. Some days you may not tingle when you read the Bible. But if you'll go to the book and pray that prayer in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Dear God, give me something today. Give me something today. I believe God wants to feed you. And God fed his people in the morning. If you, in chapter 16, verse 21, would you look at this? It says in verse 21, and they gathered it every morning. They went out and gathered the manna, brought it back to their tents and ate it. Every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Did you ever notice that? That manna was given, but when the sun came up, as the morning began to, as the day went on and the sun got up, it would come and melt that manna. And some would go out, some that were lazy, would go out and they would search around. The manna was gone. Their food for that day was gone. It had melted away. It was too late in the day. Could I give you a quote from one of the greatest men of God who ever lived and one of the greatest men of prayer and communion with God who ever lived? E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds, I guarantee you, you'll find the works of E.M. Bounds in this man's library, in this man's library. What a man of prayer. Here's what he said. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunities and freshness, in other pursuits than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, he will be last during the remainder of the day. I believe he's right. I believe he's right. If we don't seek God first in the morning, we'll make poor headway seeking him the rest of the day. The opportunity just seems to melt away, but in the morning, the time's fresh. You can choose the time. You can get up early enough to do that. Some of you say, well, I work different shifts and all of that. Well, you'll just have to incorporate this into your lifestyle the way that it is now. I believe the devil knew what he was doing when he came up with all these shifts. There was a day when men got up and went to work in the morning and worked all day, and they were home with their families at night. The devil's doing everything he can to destroy America, and I'm not saying you're out of the will of God if you're working shift work, but I'm just saying the devil has greatly hindered a lot of things with this. And so you say, well, I'll go to work at night. You'll have to adapt this to your lifestyle. But I'm telling you, there's no time like the morning to get up. And I recommend this. Some of you men that drive to work, you've got a way to drive, get the Bible on cassette or on CD. Stick it in. Listen to the Word of God while you're going down the road. I just recommend that. Get the Word of God in you. Feast on it. Some of you listen to Rush Limbaugh. You listen to these talk show guys. Man, a bunch of airheads. And I guess they got some good things to say. But man, God's got some wonderful things to say out of his word. And don't give up. Don't give up time with God just to listen to the voice of some man or some music. I love music, but there's nothing like the Word of God. Well, God fed His people in the morning. Now, if you turn to chapter 19, it says here that God spoke to His people in the morning. Chapter 19, verse number 16, "And it came to pass on the third day, when in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud." And verse 17 says, "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God." It was time to meet with God. God wanted to speak to them from Mount Sinai, and He did speak to them. God chose the time. He said, "Come in the morning. Come in the morning." My friend, God wants to speak to you in the morning. God wants to say something to you. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." Let God speak to you. Give Him enough time. Go to the Word of God. Give Him enough time and enough of your mental energy to let Him speak to you. Give Him your mind in the morning. Say, "Lord, I want the mind of Christ as I go through this day." God spoke to His people in the morning. Now, I could go to other scriptures. What time did you say finish up, Brother Jerry? 25 after. I could go to other scriptures. Let's go to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. God wanted a sacrifice in the morning. You might say, "Brother Epley, if I get up early in the morning, that is a sacrifice. I don't like to get up early in the morning." And you know what? I don't either. But I found there's something worth it. There's something worth it to meet with God. I got up earlier this morning than I wanted to get up, I promise you. But I got with my God and it was worth it. Oh, I'm so thankful. God wanted a sacrifice. Exodus 29, verse number 39. "The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even." Yeah, they also offered a sacrifice in the evening. But God said, I want a sacrifice in the morning. Now today we don't offer lambs. Thank God the Lamb of God's been slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God has shed His blood. Our sins are paid for. Amen. But you know, there is a verse in Romans 12:1 that says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God wants us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, how often should we do that? How often should we present ourselves? Is it once a year? Once a month at revival time? Sunday morning? Every Sunday? I believe we ought to present ourselves to the Lord every day. With each new day, we ought to present ourselves and say, "Lord, here I am. Take my life and use it. Dear God, lead me." God wants to set up divine appointments for you. He wants to have your path crossed with just the right person, a lost person, a backslid person, someone that needs help, someone that needs encouragement. God wants to bring you their way and lead you. And if you'll get up and present yourself to God in the morning and say, "Lord, here I am," I believe God can use you that day. I'd like to show you a nugget. Would you turn to Psalm 110? Psalm 110. Here's a verse that just leaped out to me one day. Psalm 110 talks about this morning time. Verse number 3. Psalm 110, verse number 3. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth." Look at this now. Here is something that's born in the morning. A holiness that's born in the morning. God wants us to meet with Him in the womb of the morning. Let holiness, so we can present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. God said to Moses, and you'll hear this again before the morning service is over. God said to Moses, "I want you to come up into this mountain and present yourself to me." And He said, "Come in the morning." He said, "Come in the morning." I'll show you that in the morning service, in the message. God wanted incense burnt every morning. Now today we don't offer incense. We don't burn candles. We don't have incense pots in the New Testament church. We don't do that. But they did in the church in the wilderness. And that incense that went up, it was praise and prayer. It represented for us today praise to God. My friend, we ought to get up out of the bed and praise God. That's why I go to Psalms, Brother Ross. That's why I go to Psalms. I can always find somebody there praising God, and I just join in with them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I can find somebody in Psalms praising God. I just join in and praise God. I may be sitting on the couch. I may be sitting somewhere else. I may be kneeling down, but I just praise God for a while. You know something about the... There's a psalm that says, God inhabits the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of His people. Now that's where the good part comes in, the feeling part. I like to feel something. I know you can't live by feelings. I know we've all been warned, don't depend on your feelings. I know that. But I can't help it. I like to feel something. I like something down in my soul I can feel. How would you like to have a marriage with no feeling? How would you like to have a romance with no feeling? How would you like to eat food with no taste? I mean, we're creatures of feeling. I like to feel God. And I want to tell you something. If your prayer life is dead and dull and dry, if the truth of it was known, some of you today, you'd be absolutely embarrassed for the rest of us to know about your prayer life. You'd be embarrassed. You'd be ashamed. You say, well, I pray. Do you enjoy it, though? Do you enjoy that time with God? Is it a sweet time, a wonderful time with God? I'll tell you something. Here's a little key that'll change everything. Start that off. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Enter into the presence of God. Start your prayer life. Just start thanking God. Think of how many things you can thank Him for. Praise Him for His holiness. Praise Him for His righteousness. Praise Him for His faithfulness. One man said, I get a songbook and open it up and I just sing to God out of that songbook. I believe God likes that. Praise the Lord. Start the day with praise. Meet with God in the morning and praise Him, my friend. The presence of God will come upon you. Well, there's more, but I've got to hasten on. I want to tell you about the lives of some great men that met with God in the morning. The first man, though, was more than just a man. He was the God man. If you checked out Mark 1:35, you'd find these words, and he, rising up a great while before day, went out into a solitary place, and there prayed. Our Savior, the God-man, our example that we should follow in His steps. Peter said, He's our example. We should follow His steps. He rose up a great while before day. We can't do that because we stay up so late at night. I can feel my wife's eyes looking at me. And when I say that, my wife wants to get in bed early and get some rest. But I'll tell you, I've got that night and I've spread it to my children. Now I'm trying to get my kids to go to bed. And at midnight, they're wanting to party. I'm telling you, got to come home from church, got to have a snack. Got to have a snack, you know. Then we have our Bible time. They want to talk about everything under the sun, catch up on all the news. But Brother Brown... relieved me one day. I thought, I'm abnormal. There's something wrong with me. We can't have a decent family time. Family altar. We try to meet with God and we wind up just talking and laughing and having a big time. And my pastor, Brother Larry Brown, said one time, he said, our family does that. He said, we talk and we laugh and we have a big time. But he said, I think that may be the best part of our family altar time. The family getting together, loving one another, communicating with one another. So it relieved me a little bit. But we're night owls. But you know, we ought to try to get in bed where we can get up early. Our Savior rose up a great while before day. David, we've already looked at David. He met with God in the morning. Abraham got up early. and met with God. Moses got up early and met with God. Joshua got up early and met with God. Job, one of the overlooked greats of the Bible, is Job, my friend. When you think of Job, you just think of all the bad things that happened to him. And sometimes we forget about chapter 1 where God, you won't find it about any other man in the Bible, where God came to the devil. Well, actually, the devil presented himself with the sons of God. And there was the devil. And God looked at the devil and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You won't find where God said that to anybody. And the things that took place in the book of Job actually were taking place for the benefit of the unseen world. Really, it was for the benefit that the devil might see a man that would not curse God and would not turn away from God no matter what happened to him. That's what Job's all about. But God said, "This man fears God and he eschews evil. He's upright before me." God himself bragged on Job and singled him out as an example. Did you know the Bible says Job would get up early in the morning and offer sacrifices for his children? My friend, if you've got children, you ought to be up early in the morning praying to God for your children. You ought to get up early in the morning and bring their names before the throne of grace and call them out to God and say, "Oh God, put a hedge around my children," and pray for your marriage, pray for your wife, pray for your husband, pray for your loved ones. Get up in the morning, make intercession for your family, my friend. Job did it. What an example. M.R. Dehan was a great man of God. Reached America by means of radio. He was a medical doctor turned preacher. He said, "The morning is the best time of the day when nature awakens refreshed, when your faculties are at their peak. It's the best time for meditation, for prayer, for communion with God." He said, "If you begin the day late, all the rest of the day you will be late." What a mixed up world, he said. We become a flock of bats and owls instead of larks and canaries. I wrote down, we'd been in Murfreesboro, and they took us to IHOP late at night. Late at night. I wrote this down one time when I preached it there. I said, "You know, we're not bar hoppers, we're IHOPers." I mean, my pastor calls it Christian nightclub and Christian nightclub and out in these restaurants late at night. We eat all that stuff and then go home and dream about the beast of Revelation 13. And you can't hardly get up in the morning. Hey, here's what E.M. Bound said. Brother Jerry, listen to this. E.M. Bound said, "The men," and I might say the women, don't overlook the contribution of great women to the work of God. "The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees." I believe he's right. Early on their knees. Spurgeon said, "Let us give the Lord the bud of the day, its virgin beauty, its unsullied purity. The morning is the choice time. The old proverb declares, they who would be rich must rise early. Surely those who would be rich toward God must do so." Rise up early. Meet with God. Billy Sunday. How could a baseball player become an evangelist that shook America? If you ever read the book about Billy Sunday or any book about him, you read amazing things about a man that was not educated in a college, a man that came off the baseball diamond and took off the uniform, put on a suit, and went and preached the Word of God, and thousands upon thousands came to hear him. You say, "Well, he was so exciting. Well, he was such an orator." That's what it was. He had a lot of humor and a lot of these things. He'd walk up and down. He'd run up and down the aisle. I'll tell you what I believe the key was. It was said of Billy Sunday, before he read a letter, before he would even read a paper, before he would read a telegram, and the telegram means urgent news, he went first to the Bible, that the first impression of the day might be from God. Let me close with this. Matthew Henry, the man who made a comment on every verse in the Bible. Matthew Henry's commentary, you'll find it all over the world in every preacher's library. The comments, just the comments of Matthew Henry. And he said, "We have the most need of prayer in the morning. considering the dangers and temptations of the day to which we are exposed. Think about it now. When you consider the dangers and temptations of the day, I don't know, Brother Ross, if it's because we've traveled so much, we've been in over 200 churches, but I'm just hearing too much. I hear those awful words, "Have you heard about?" And there it comes. Some preacher, some Christian, it's fallen. You know what they did? They were just walking along, and they didn't know that the devil had a snare laid there. And they walked right into his snare. I've read about those Vietnam days when those Vietnamese, they'd have that hole in the ground with sharp spikes coming up, have it all covered over, and Americans would walk right into it. Or have a noose there, and they'd put their foot in it, yank them up in the air and maybe into some pointed object. Snares. And, of course, those landmines. And the point man would have to go ahead and try to clear the way, watching for those landmines. Oh, my friend, the devil has his mines. The devil has his snares. And we need somebody leading the way that knows where they are, leading us around them, avoiding them. And if we'll meet with God early in the morning, say, "God, please direct my path. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. God, lead me in the way that I..." Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to know, Lord, the way wherein I should walk. God can keep us out of those snares, my friend. We can go on for him. Matthew Henry said, you know, we must seek him with the utmost care as those who are afraid of missing him. Are you afraid of missing God? Have you learned to live without his presence? Have you learned to get along without God? We ought to be afraid we'll miss him. Dear Father, please help us. Help us, Lord, to see this truth. It's all through the Word of God. It's all through the pages of history that we need to meet with God and meet with you early. Lord, impress it on our hearts. Some today turned me off and said, "I can't do that. My schedule won't permit it." Some today turned me off and said, "I'm not a morning person. I'll just continue to read some at night or in the afternoon." Lord, that's surely better than nothing. But I pray, Lord, for those who turned me off and turned off these scriptures and these examples. I pray, dear God, you'd not let them get away from it. Those who are spending time in the morning, help them, Lord, to realize it's not just the time, it's what is accomplished in that time. God, help them to realize they need to come away from that time changed. They need to come away from that time nourished. They need to go away from that time of Bible reading and prayer with a fresh touch of God upon them to meet the day. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.